Let me speak to you this morning from Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We are so horribly, horribly lost. It would be impossible for us to overestimate the seriousness of our lostness. No matter how desperately we describe our lost condition, we can be sure that it's worse than we think it is. We are lost in the sense that we've gone astray, turned to our own way, and we do not know where we are. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, said the prophet. We have turned everyone to his own way. Our minds are corrupted from the truth of God. There was a time when we knew how to approach God. We knew the way of God's favor and fellowship, and we delighted in it. When our race was only two people, Adam and Eve, communion with God was the regular order of the day. He knew where we were, and we were confident he would come, and we longed for it expectantly. But sin ruined all of that. Eve was deceived and thought she was doing the right thing by eating the fruit, but in so doing, she turned to her own way. Adam saw through Satan's deception and realized the wrongness of eating the forbidden fruit, but he leaned also on his own understanding, thinking the greater good would be served by joining with Eve. It's likely he considered it worse to be cut off from Eve than to be cut off from God. But whatever his thoughts, they were indeed his thoughts, and he turned to his own way. And each of us has followed in our parents' footsteps, choosing our own way, and therefore we have wandered and gone astray. Our wills were corrupted so that we became rebels and we stubbornly persist in our own way despite all the trouble it brings us. Cain would not submit to the need for a substitutionary sacrifice, so he persisted in the way of human wisdom and offered his own works. And we are like him. We build idols, temples, pyramids, churches, and cathedrals, thinking that by them we can approach God. Our hearts became deceitful and desperately wicked beyond our power even to realize just how depraved we are. Like those who are delirious with fever, we are sick beyond the ability to know just how sick we are. The sickness has spread so far, it has eliminated our power to even know that it is there. We call good evil and evil good. We have an excuse for all our sins, but are full of condemnation for everyone else's sin. We know the judgment of God, that those who live like this are worthy of death, but we continue to live like that and find our happiness among others who live the same way. Every known form of evil is present in the heart of men, and he invents new ways of carrying it out. We are so lost that we have neither the inclination nor the power to get back to God. There is nothing we can do, nor anything anyone else can do, to bring us back. We may have religious feelings and do religious works, but these feelings and works are no more than the broad road that leads to destruction, and our walking on it only serves to seal our horribly lost condition. We are so desperately, desperately lost. We are lost to God. Now, it's not as though he doesn't know where we are. Rather, we are lost to him in the sense that we have been separated from him. We have died to him. We are lost to God as a man may say, I have lost my wife to illness, or I lost my son in the war. And we are lost to God beyond retrieval. There is nothing God in heaven can do to remedy this awful condition. I know that may sound strange to you. Nothing God in heaven can do? Have we not heard that nothing is impossible with God? But stick with me and you'll see the truth of it. There is nothing God in heaven can do to remedy our lost condition. Oh, how lost we are. Can it be any worse than I have described? Too lost to find our way home. Too lost for God in heaven to retrieve us. I am certain that if we had even a little understanding of how lost we are, we would fall into an unspeakable despair and an impenetrable darkness. If men knew how desperate their condition is, They would seek the Lord with all their hearts, and every gospel church would be full to overflowing. If we had a sense of our desperate condition, we would never consider the hearing of the gospel to be a chore, something easily set aside for pleasures, recreation, and entertainment. If we had an inkling of our lostness, prayer would be no chore. It would come easily, and it would sound much different from the prayers we toss off at our appointed times. Our prayers would no longer be so much like a Christmas wish list of earthly blessings. Rather, our continual cry would be, "Have mercy on me, O God." And we would never get past that. Never was there a more desperate condition than ours. We are lost, blindly and stubbornly lost. And there is nothing God in heaven can do about it. But what God in heaven cannot do, God on earth can do. And He has come. And He has come to do exactly what needs to be done, to seek and to save the lost. Behold this man who has come to seek and to save the lost. Behold a man who isn't himself lost. As he stood there speaking, he knew exactly where he came from, where he was, and where he was going. He has not wandered. He has not gone astray. Yes, he has gone his own way, but his way is the right way, and he is not lost. What's more, he knows where we are. He knows where stupid sheep go. He knows they lie in the wicked one, that they wander in darkness. He knows they grope in blindness, dwell in the camp of the unclean, and lie rotting in the grave of spiritual death. He knows that some lie drunk in the gutters, and others are drunk with their own goodness, sitting in church pews. He knows that some are nearby, and some are far off, but that all of them are separated from God. He knows they are in sin, and under judgment and wrath. He is not cut off from God. He is in the bosom of the Father, full of God's favor and truth. There came a time when he would be cut off from God for the salvation of his elect. But when he came into the world, he was pleasing to the Father, and he spent every moment of his time here in this world doing those things that please the Father. Twice his Father spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Christ himself claimed that it was his very food to do the will of the Father. Christ also said, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." What hope this is for those who are lost, who through sin are separated from God. Behold the name by which he comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He calls himself the Son of Man. As the Son of Man, he is the one who came down from heaven and returned there. He came from heaven to seek and save his sheep, and he has taken them back home with him. It is our hope to get there, but we know that we are unable to get there by our efforts. All our efforts have ever brought us is further estrangement from God. All our efforts have ever done is driven us further from God's paradise. But here is a man who came from heaven, and once his work was done, he returned to heaven. And he has come to seek and to save the lost. As the Son of Man, he has authority on earth to forgive sin. Can there be anyone better suited to the needs of sinners than one who has divine authority from heaven to forgive sins on earth? Some of you may think you are too much a sinner to be saved. That would be true if salvation had anything to do with your power and authority. But behold, one made just for your case. A man with authority to forgive sins. What else could you need? As the Son of Man, he was called the friend of sinners and tax collectors. The old song goes, "What a friend we have in Jesus." The book of Proverbs says, "A friend loves at all times." Those who think themselves to be righteous by their own works and will find no friend in Christ. He came to seek and save the lost, but there are precious few people in this world who will confess themselves to be lost. By sinner, we mean what the Bible means by the word sinner. We mean more than simply one who has done some sinful things. We mean someone who has never done good things, certainly nothing so good that God could call it good. Are you a sinner like that? Someone who has never done anything good enough for God? Then here is good news for you. Jesus Christ is your friend. As the Son of Man, he suffered many things at the hands of religious leaders of his day, all culminating in his crucifixion. It was at this point, his crucifixion, that the Son of Man had come all the way to where his lost sheep were. They were under sin, wrath, and judgment. He must go there to save them, and so he did. We were sinful, so he was made a sin offering. We were cut off, so he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? We were under sentence of death, so he gives up his spirit and dies. And having come all the way to where we are, he finds us and saves us. It is as the Son of Man that the Lord Jesus will return in the clouds with great glory. When the Son of Man returns, he will be bringing the wrath of God with him. But he will also be bringing salvation to his own. He will be seeking his own, and he will find every one of them who are still here when he returns. And he will take them out of the way before he lowers the boom on this world. No more joyful words could ever be uttered than, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Can the one who came down from heaven fail to find one whom he seeks? Will the one who has authority on earth to forgive sins withhold forgiveness from any sinner he finds? Will the one who is the friend of sinners show any reluctance to associate with those who call on his name, even you? Will the one who suffered the cross, who endured the wrath of God against sin, will he fail to find and rescue any for whom he did that glorious work? Shall the one who returns in glory with the fiery eye of divine knowledge and wrath, shall he fail to discover the very least of those he came to save? Shall he accidentally destroy one for whom he was sent, one for whom he died, one for whom he returns? It can never be. Glory be to the Son of Man who has come, and who will come again. Glory to him for seeking the lost, and glory to him for finding them all, and glory to him for saving them all, and glory to him both now and forevermore.